wants to hang out with me. But I'm looking at you and you're looking too good to be true. Oh, maybe I should pay attention to the way I look when I leave my house. Woo-hoo! Yeah, maybe I should pay attention to the way attention to the way I look when I leave my house. Yeah, maybe I should pay attention to the way I look when I leave my house. Woo-hoo! Oh, the rum-punch at this baby shower's got me feeling fine. It's 2 p.m., it's me again, I've got you on my mind. Start living, babe, if you can find the time. I'll tell you all about it if I get you on the line. And now I'm naked in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord likes what he sees. I'm gonna go downtown, I'm gonna shake it around, I'm buzzing like a honeybee. Ain't nobody else in the whole wide world that wants to hang out with me. But I'm looking at you and you're looking too good to be true. And now I'm naked in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord likes what he sees. I'm gonna go downtown, I'm gonna shake it around, I'm buzzing like a honeybee. Ain't nobody else in the whole wide world that wants to hang out with me. But I'm looking at you and you're looking too good to be true.
Molly Alphabet, along with Chet Vincent and Trish Imbrogno, from September 2nd, 2017.
Headliner joins you in supporting SLB Radio and Youth Express. Headliner is a cloud-based software that media makers can use to add video to podcasts, music, and other audio projects, making it easier to share their creations via social media, YouTube, and websites. Headliner also offers a photo and video library, text captioning, and simplified audio-video editing. Additional information is available at headliner.app.
This is Larry Berger. We'll be back again with our usual mix of acoustic music and family fun next week. You're listening to a special edition of the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, featuring great live performances from past broadcasts.
88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, 90.1 WIUP-FM Indiana, 90.7 WMCO New Concord, 90.7 KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, 91.7 WCUC FM Clarion, 91.7 WNJR Washington, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including slbradio.org/radio.
Todd Burge is from Parkersburg, West Virginia. He is a songwriter's songwriter, and every time I listen to his songs, I'm amazed at the depth of his lyrics and that great voice of his. I'm also grateful that he does, whenever he is in the Pittsburgh area, that there's always a place for him to share new music and perform. Here from September 29th, 2018, Todd Burge.
Every day was a test and I'd fail like a fool who just daydream in school. But now that I'm old, I look back on my past, just me and my dad making the best with what we had. With two legs in one sack, we seemed to sync up like that, but we'd always fall flat on our faces. Then we'd go back, back, back to the races. In a three-legged race, the winner takes all and the losers are left with a sack made of burlap. There's no time to nap, so condition yourself, and if you win, you can fight as to which one of you gets the prize. But Dad and I, we were one close peas in our pod who had gotten the nod from the god of good losers. Then we'd go back, back, back to the races. We'd go back. I'm on, I need to find me a way to go it alone in this race. I've gone from kicking the can to so close to the bucket that I look back on my life and I say, I know this place. I go back, back, back to
Todd Burge, that's the first song, the opening song to the album, Your Reflection Will Kill You. And that's a brave album title. In fact, Todd simultaneously released two albums, one, a rock album from 1986.
Yeah, so the rock album, it's... the rock album was never released. I was signed to a label and I was going to WVU in the 80s there. My final year was 86 at West Virginia University, and I got signed to this label, Hardwade Records, in San Francisco. Long story short, they paid for a record, and the deal kind of just went south. It was never released, and I spent years trying to get it back, and just last year they actually sent me those tapes, and here we are 32 years later. I decided to release my first ever solo album, and it's wildly different from Your Reflection Will Kill You.
Well, but Your Reflection Will Kill You is not a bad title for a 1986 rock album.
Yes, that's true, and it ties into that, and really, you know, it all ties in. Actually, the decision to release my very first album along with this new acoustic record that's you know, pretty far away from rock and roll as you can get, is a folk album, no drums or anything, but it kind of like led me to that title. I was going to call it Your Reflection, and I realized that it could get lost on the online. It was hard to nail down. So that was a line from one of the songs on the album, Your Reflection Will Kill You. And it kind of fit with releasing this old stuff as well. And it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. But
yeah, it's a good title. It took me a minute to commit it to memory. But I think about looking in the mirror and sometimes the way that makes me feel.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it can be many things, can it?
Let's head into another song.
Okay, I'll do a here's a West Virginia song for you.
Todd's from Parkersburg, by the way, if you didn't know that.
Yes, Parkersburg, West Virginia. This is a song called Wood County Man. My granddad worked the dirt till the road came through and cut it in two. Now my backyard's getting cut in two. They're hoping it'll bring some new folks through. I once met a traveling Texas band. They drove Route 50 to the one-night stand. They said, your hills are so pretty, they're awesome and grand. Said, it must be great to be a Wood County man. But when I was young and still in school, my hometown was far from coal. And everything I thought I had to understand could not be taught by a Wood County man. So I moved out west and started living a lot, thinking fast to get through all my new thoughts. The music was loud and the women all fast. I was only happy while thinking about my past. Yeah, it took a lot of trouble in a faraway land to make me want to be a Wood County man. Makes a man age so fast. Seems like the doctor just slapped my slap in a blink and you're old and gray. Wondering how the heck time slips that way. But when I was young and still in school, my hometown was far from cold. Took a lot of trouble in a faraway land to make me want to be a Wood County man. Took a lot of trouble in a faraway land to make me want to be a Wood County man.
make me want to die, Wood County man. So if you can find a way to save this land and put it into some honest hands, hand it on down to my newborn son, he can grow up to be a Wood County man.
That's a great song. I don't recall hearing that song before. Is that
That's from 2003, I believe. I looked out my office window there when I lived over by City Park in Parkersburg, and I could look out the office window there, and they were blasting away the hillside, and they were putting a new corridor through, basically bypassed Parkersburg. And they were, you know, talking about, when they were selling it to everybody, they were talking about how it would bring more people to Parkersburg and basically just bypass the downtown. And
sort of an economic, an enterprise zone or something like that.
Yeah. And the bridge goes over Blennerhassett Island. There was a big, you know, people were bummed out about that with wildlife and all that. And I just started thinking about Route 50, and which was just a block over from our house there where we lived, and all the places that it took me. And I thought about my granddad years ago. Probably when I was a kid, my granddad told me about what was once Route 21 through West Virginia. They're going through the Parkersburg, Marietta area, connecting Parkersburg to the Marietta area, Ohio area. They cut his farm in two, you know, and when they put a road through there. So all those things are kind of, you know, from my granddad to my boy, they're all kind of like merged together in that song.
What are you fixing to do next?
Yeah, I'm thinking, should I do another West Virginia song, or should I do a love song to my dog? This is a song I wrote when I realized that my dog wasn't as bad as some others out there.
Oh, I love this song. Who knew, right?
Yeah, who knew? Friend's pup just threw up in the kitchen by the door. That bad boy sure ain't good with his number two falling on my floor. Who knew that you? Good dog, I didn't know. When I whistle, you do come with a steady pace, no matter where from, and you sit there so politely and wag your tail while I strum, and I think, who knew that you? Hey boy. The bone I found underground was not in your lost and found. Took me 6 years to get a clue, but for you it seemed like 42. Who knew that you? True story.
I hope it's okay. Ricky and I've sung that to cats before. I thought you probably thought we were going to say to each other, but no.
Yeah, right.
We've sung that to the cats.
I love that.
Yeah, it's who knew you were the good cat? Because we had two cats, actually, and one was a little more polite and friendly than the other one.
Yeah, you find out sometimes, and it's all relative, isn't it? You know?
Absolutely. Todd Burge is here. ToddBurge.com is how you can find out more about his music. He's got a brand new CD out called Your Reflection Will Kill You. I love how you describe it as a 38-minute song, just from start to finish. I used to love to listen to albums that way. And folks,
yeah, I still do. I like to listen to albums through, especially on the road. I think this album will get me to Cambridge, Ohio, whatever, you know. And I like listening to them through. And I like thinking about them being listened to all the way through, even though I know a lot of people don't. In my head, they all kind of blend one into the next, you know.
ToddBurge.com, and it also features Ryan Kennedy and John Ingram and Don Dixon.
So I just wanted to see what the three of us could do. Don Dixon recorded it, and, you know, people might know him from James McMurtry or Joan Baez or REM. He brought his mobile studio into my home, and we recorded it just right there in my little studio downstairs, real casual, and took a couple days. It's a live thing.
So there's a video on your website of, I think it's Don't Water My Whiskey
Down. Yeah, Don't Water My Whiskey Down's on the website, yeah.
And that's a good video.
Yeah.
In fact, we were looking at that yesterday, and I said, boy, I hope the album's like this. And then I listened to the album. And
that is the album,
yes,
yeah.
I said, it's a match.
Richard Anderson from Baltimore is doing a documentary. I'm helping him with some music on a documentary about a town in Auburn, West Virginia, about how the oil industry has changed that town. He spent the whole 2 days with us when we recorded this, so we have this whole album on video, and it's really well done. I mean, he's done some fine documentary work, Richard Anderson.
This is something regarding Todd that I've always admired about him is the authenticity and just the thoughtfulness behind the music that he creates. And watching that video, which was it was like having you guys in our living room.
Yeah.
And then, frankly, you know, the thought in my head was, boy, I hope this didn't get screwed up in the studio.
You know? You're right. Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
So that sounds mean-spirited, but
no,
sometimes
I know exactly
things
what you mean.
Morph a little bit. But
yeah.
No, it's every bit as pure and I don't mean electrified necessarily. I just mean sometimes the studio will squeeze all the
squeeze a life out of a song,
yeah.
Or, you know, there's no life to begin with because of the studio. I've been there. I've been all around that. And really working with Don Dixon, he's a master at capturing live performances. And so our job was to rehearse and get ready for Don to come in and just he knows how to capture it and make it. And so it sounds just like what you get there. So, yeah, if you go on the website, you'll see how it went down.
Yeah. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for doing that, Todd Burge. He's got a host of other albums. There's albums for kids. There's a great album with songs about animals. There's a whole slew of them. Go to ToddBurge.com to learn more about his repertoire. We probably have time for two or three more. Your choice. I don't want to wear you out.
You've
got
a
busy day.
Okay, great. This is another one off of Your Reflection Will Kill You called Born Again. Actually, I do these workshops, these songwriting workshops once a month in Marietta, Ohio at the stage door there. It's called the Song Colony, and it's a group of, you know, anybody's welcome to come in, even if you're not a songwriter. I tell people, if you're not a songwriter, you'll probably end up leaving one. This woman brought this idea in, and we all kind of worked on it. And we throw an idea at the end of each session. We throw an idea out there, and we come back and kind of compare what we came up with. And But her phrase was broken down and born again. And so that's this song. Laura Belcher came up with the title, Born Again. Newborn's like being born, but the weight of a day can snuff all life away. The weight of a day can snuff all life away. I had a dream I was in the womb, listening to my mother's tomb, but a bump in the night had me coming to. A bump in the night brought on the light of truth. You must die a little bit before you're born again. You're broken down, but then you'll be born again. Oh. When I read the good book, I was way too young. I started out smart, but I ended up dumb. The words went in, but they never did come out. I got all mixed up, they never fell out of my mouth. You must die a little bit before you're born again. You're broken down, but then you'll be born again. Heroes are dead and gone. The other half forgot what side they're on. Life goes on, but the dead, they do too. I'll try to be your hero if you try to be mine too.
Todd Burge, Born Again. Bruce writes, Todd Burge is really great. Is he related to Rachel Burge?
No, but we have met. West Virginia Music Hall of Fame has a series where they'll take musicians, and anybody that has a job in the music industry, there'll be a stagehand or somebody that's in marketing or whatever, and go into the schools and have career days. And Rachel and I were part of one of those last year, and we met and played some music together. And it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Being Burges and never having met, you know.
Yes. Two Burges, one stage.
Yeah. Right. So is it late enough in the day I could do the Don't Water My Whiskey Down?
Oh, of course.
Let's do that.
Of course.
It's the story of my family history. Now I'll never get back what they once thought of me. Up to now it's all been made up make-believe that I've told so many times I started to believe it too. water my whiskey down. Freedom is a hoax. It rode here on a boat like a huddled up mass that screwed up the winning pass in a championship game where no one knows your name. But aren't we all to blame as we all call the play? And I was a duck, I'd sink down to the bottom, I would never come back up. Swim with the fishes, way too wasted to speak. Tell them all my secrets, let my soul spring a leak.
Todd Burge is broadcast on the September 29th, 2018 edition of the Saturday Light Brigade.
Pear Networks joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Headquartered in Pittsburgh, Pear Networks provides website hosting and domain registration to people from around the world. More information is available at pear.com. That's PAIR.com.
Learn about upcoming guests and features first by subscribing to Brigadier Briefings, our free email newsletter. To subscribe, visit slbradio.org/subscribe. Each newsletter includes an original puzzle, links to past programs, and details about youth and adults appearing on the next edition of the Saturday Light Brigade. Get closer to SLB by subscribing at slbradio.org/subscribe.
We hope you're enjoying this week's special edition of the Saturday Light Brigade featuring great performances from past broadcasts. We'll be back in the studio next week with our usual mix of acoustic music and family fun. Back on October 22nd, 2016, It was our pleasure to welcome U.S. Army Staff Sergeants Sarah Schramborg playing oboe, Jeremy Klenke on clarinet, David Parks on saxophone, Sergio Acosta on bassoon, and Sergeant First Class Jennifer Everhart on bass clarinet. They were visiting Pittsburgh as part of the American Reed Collage Tour with the Army Field Band. I think you'll enjoy hearing their performance. I'm not sure this studio has ever sounded quite so nice and quite so pretty when five people come together So beautiful. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. I'm great. So great to be here.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You spent some time in Pittsburgh. You're now, are you based in Boston these days?
Now I'm based right outside of Washington, D.C. I play with the Army Field Band with these wonderful people. And we're based in Fort Meade, Maryland, which is about 30 minutes outside of D.C.
So I am sure some people are wondering what the Army Field Band is all about. You're asked this question lots and lots, but can you kind of explain how the program works, why it exists, and the musicians that are involved?
Yes. So we all are professional musicians. We all went to music school. We all have degrees from music schools, and there are many bands in the military. There are regular bands, and then they call them special bands. So we have four special bands in the Army that we audition to be in our specific band. And so we've all taken the audition. Then we enlisted into the Army. We all went to basic training. And now we're in the Army Field Band, and we support the troops. We honor the veterans, and we go into schools too and play for kids. And
that's not how long have you been part of the group?
I've been in the group for 5 years.
So you enlisted 5 years ago.
I did.
And where did you go to music school?
I went to the Eastman School of Music up in Rochester, New York.
And what an amazing thing to be able to use music as well as service.
Yes.
And service to other folks. It's pretty remarkable, actually.
Yes, it's such an honor to be able to do what we love to do while serving our country.
Now, you must be on the road a significant amount of time, I would think.
We're on the road about 100 days a year.
Okay, that is a lot, and especially if you have a two-year-old. How
yes.
old is your daughter?
Yes, she's two.
Lucy's out there at the Children's Museum. It's a perfect environment for her today. Well, first, can you tell me what you just played?
We just played the Dvorak Serenade, the first movement. It's originally written for probably 13 winds, around 13, but our great Jeremy Klinke arranged it for us to play as a reed quintet. This is kind of an unusual group of instruments to put together, so yeah. We have had to have a lot of arranging done for us.
Yeah, they sound great. Well, let's meet everybody.
I'm Jeremy Klinke.
Ah, the aforementioned great Jeremy Klinke with
not
the
great
arrangement. Oh, I'll play clarinet. Jeremy, your hometown and where you went to school?
I'm originally from the suburbs of Chicago, a town called Aurora, and I also went to school at the Eastman School of Music. I went there for 3 years from 2005 to 2007. And then I won a position in the Army Field Band in January of 2008, went to Fort Benning, and then arrived at the field band later in 2008.
That audition process must really be something. Is it stressful? Or
it's
got to be rigorous. Can you describe the process sort of in a nutshell?
The way the Army Field Band does it is a little different from the way, say, an orchestra does it. The Army Field Band, what we do is we require all applicants to send in a recording of themselves playing roughly 15 to 20 minutes of music showing contrasting styles. And the purpose of that is to pre-screen our applicants. An orchestra would not do that. You would just send in your resume, give them an audition deposit, and then show up at the audition. We call those cattle call auditions.
The
metaphor makes sense.
Sure.
So for our audition, we have our first round of our audition before the audition actually happens. The reason we do that is because we pay for the travel and the lodging of people that come to audition for our unit. So we'll fly you to Fort Meade, the Fort Meade area, and put you up in a hotel. And then on average, on an audition day, we usually have probably 5 to 10 people that make it through the pre-screening process.
And then after being pre-screened, there probably is another hurdle to pass, I would imagine.
Yes, the military entrance and processing hurdle.
Just like any other recruit or enlisted person.
We have to make sure that they are qualified to be an enlisted soldier in the United States Army as well after we accept their recording. So sometimes we'll accept a recording, but they don't meet some requirement to join the Army, so we can't ultimately hire them, and they are not invited at that point.
Interesting. And then everybody goes through basic training.
That is correct.
How do you feel about that? I do not think I would go through basic training very well. I mean, I would find it very challenging. And I guess what I'm thinking about is, not to typecast, but you're creative, you have a lifestyle and years of study sort of living outside of the right angles of life. And basic training to me is all right angles, more or less. But you're mixed in with everybody else, right?
Yes. I personally had an unusual motivation in basic training, which is my older brother, Joel. He's a sergeant first class in the Army Field Band. We both play clarinet, and he's 3.5 years older than me. So he won a job with the Army Field Band 3.5 years before I did. And my motivation in basic training was, if he can do it, I can definitely do it. And it's difficult for a musician, especially coming from music school, going into an environment like that. It's hard, but anybody can do it.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.
And sitting next to Jeremy, I believe we have David?
Yes.
And this is Staff Sergeant David Parks, who's playing saxophone. Your hometown and music school?
I'm from Rimrock, Arizona, which is just outside of Sedona. And I went to school at a little tiny Presbyterian college in Spokane, Washington, called Whitworth College. And then I went from there to do my master's at the University of Southern Mississippi down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So I've kind of been all over.
And how did you connect with the field band? What was your motivation to apply?
Well, I'm a classical saxophonist. There are not a ton of jobs for classical saxophonists. The military bands are actually the greatest employer of musicians in the country. So you look at that and you look at, I'm a classical saxophonist, bands have saxophones, it's a great gig for a saxophonist. So I saw a flyer, I sent in the CD, flew out there and had the audition.
That is quite a statistic in terms of employment. And to extrapolate that, it means that the military is actually supporting the arts in a significant
Absolutely.
Way, which is something we don't typically think about. Do you know roughly how many musicians? Is it thousands?
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't.
Across the branches, definitely.
Yeah, I would not have thought it was that high. So that's terrific.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Army employs everything. I mean, you think of, you know, you think you're going to go into the Army, you're going to be marching with a machine gun and a backpack, but we have computer specialists, we have photographers, you have truck drivers, cooks. I mean, literally any job that you could have in the civilian world, there's probably an Army equivalent.
Now, do you play other styles in terms of saxophone? Because you don't think of saxophone as a symphonic instrument.
As far as playing different styles, when we join the band, we have a jazz band, so we have the jazz specialist there, and we have the concert band. So we're the four of us that are in the concert band are primarily classical saxophone players, but we are required to play, you know, some commercial music, some pop stuff, some jazz stuff. You kind of have to be versatile on the saxophone because you're going to be called to play what people expect to hear. You got to try. You got to learn.
That makes sense. Well, thank you and
thank
welcome.
You.
And if you're just joining us, you're hearing from American Reed Collage, which is a subset of the Army Field Band, which is currently touring the U.S. They're based in Maryland. And you're about to meet Sergeant First Class Jennifer Everhart. Where are you from and where did you go to school?
Well, good morning. I'm from Thomasville, North Carolina, which is a very small town directly in the middle of the state. And I went to school at Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina, did a degree in music education, and then continued on to Indiana University for my master's degree in clarinet performance.
Well, it's very nice to meet you. Now,
nice to meet you as well.
You are playing a bass clarinet.
Bass clarinet,
and
yes.
We don't often see bass clarinet.
Yes.
A lot of people probably think it's some sort of saxophone, but
they do actually. When we do concerts, a lot of people will ask, "Oh, what is that? Is that a saxophone?" But it is a clarinet. It's made of wood, and it sounds an octave lower than the B flat clarinet that Jeremy Klenke is playing in the ensemble. I love it because it's got such a nice, warm, rich sound. It's about the same register as a cello. So a lot of Sergio and I with bassoon, we have the lower end of this ensemble, and it's quite fun to play. So.
Yeah, it sounds as you blend together, it's just tremendous. Thank you,
thank you
as well for being here. And let's go to Sergio, who is playing bassoon, and Staff Sergeant Sergio Acosta. I hope I've got that correct.
That was right. Well, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And when I went to school, I went just over in Madison, Wisconsin at UW. Go Badgers. I did my undergrad there in flute performance, and then I continued to get my master's in bassoon.
Excellent. Well, it's nice to meet you. Was the audition process, when you think back about it, I'm suspecting you don't have an older brother that also auditioned, but was it similar to how Jeremy described it?
I had to send in a CD. I thought, you know, after going to school for 7 years for music, I was like, you know, I should probably do something with it. And so I started out my job search with the Army Field Band, and I thought, you know, it wouldn't hurt to just send a CD because there's, you know, you just record at home if you want and then send in a CD. And I got selected, and then that's when the big nerves set in, and I had to go do the MEPS process, which is, you know, long. You have to meet a recruiter. You have to go meet the requirements. You have to take a test, an aptitude test. And then I did the audition, which is, as you go on, it gets more and more nerve-wracking.
Are the auditions blind? Are you behind the screen?
The first live round is when you get there, when there's about 6 to 10 people. And then they'll pick who they want to move on. And then it's usually around 3 people. And then they take the screen down, you play some more, there's an interview round, there's usually group playing.
Wow, that's what a process. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
What is the next selection that you'll play?
Well, we're going to be doing the Pavane for a Dead Princess. It's by Maurice Ravel, and we're going to do about half of the piece today. It's also a piece that was originally written for piano and scored for orchestra. And today I actually arranged it for this ensemble.
Thank you.
American reed collage, and again, sounding so beautifully. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade, and I'm going to turn my attention back to Sarah to tell us what you'll be playing next.
Well, next we're going to be playing three short pieces from Debussy's suite, The Children's Corner. Originally, it was written for piano, and we're going to be playing The Serenade of the Doll, The Little Shepherd, Golliwog's Cakewalk.
Claude Debussy wrote this work in 1908 because he was a father at the time, but he was in his 50s. He had just become a father. So he was a very old father for the first time. He was absolutely captivated by his daughter, Claude Emma Debussy. And so he wrote these movements to represent her perspective on the world. And hopefully, through our music, we can capture what he was going for.
I can't wait to hear this, in part because I've always liked Golliwog Cakewalk, but I don't know the other movements as well, and I'm curious if I'm going to recognize them. Once again, here is American Reed Collage. Thank you. From October 22nd, 2016, the American Reed Collage, Army Field Band.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
We'll be back again with our usual mix of acoustic music and family fun next week. You're listening to a special edition of the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, featuring great live performances from past broadcasts.
88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, 90.1 WIUP-FM Indiana, 90.7 WMCO New Concord, 90.7 KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, 91.7 WCUC FM Clarion, 91.7 WNJR Washington, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including slbradio.org/radio.
I hope you're enjoying listening to these past performances from the Saturday Light Brigade as much as I am. This hour has some great music. In a little bit, you'll get a chance to hear from sax legend Richie Cole. But first, three other musicians who you'll really like hearing from: Max Shang, Clint Hoover, and Jim Spears all came down to visit our studios back on June 22nd, 2019. Together, they played gypsy jazz and European swing. Their trio is called Sweet Atmosphere.